And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And sometimes it's the places, one of the places that it will take its spot in the firmament of downtown Colorado Springs is Widener Field, which is getting very close to completion. The vision for the downtown stadium started nearly a decade ago. This year, it's going to come to fruition. Joining us today to talk more about this, we're very pleased to have with us Doug Price, who's the CEO and Executive Director of Visit Colorado Springs. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shannon. Good morning.
Good morning. And our other guest today, Laura Newman, who's speaking on behalf of Widener Field and the folks getting that job done. Laura, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Shannon. Good morning.
It is a very exciting time, Laura. We're going to be hearing from you about all of the developments. Doug, though, let's start with you. This is a really important part of the vision of the City for Champions projects. Tell us why this is just one of those linchpins of making all these projects, all of this vision come to something that we can actually see and visit and enjoy.
You know, Shannon, you've heard me say this before, that when you build a place that people want to visit, you build a place where people want to live. And the City for Champions projects were visioned to certainly attract visitors to Colorado Springs. But I think your listeners, by the end of this program, will see the vision of how this also has such a positive impact for our residents as well. You know, each of the C4C projects that is open, the Hibble Center at UCCS, the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum and Hall of Fame, really has not only exceeded its vision, but the projects themselves are really just transformational. They've changed, I think, the mindset of people who live here, thinking there was a time where we had to settle for things, or the way it's going to be is that's just, it is what it is, and we really can't compete with others, to now, Widener Field is another project in the line of people saying, we're going to get things done, and we're going to move this to the next highest level possible. And it's really changed our mindset. So I think that we're really at a point in our city where we really have raised the bar pretty high.
Yeah, I'll say when you drive by Widener Field, and especially as the sculptures and artwork are taking form and actually becoming part of the landscape, it really kind of makes your blood race a little bit quicker to realize, hey, we're in one of those cities with a downtown stadium. Let's bring in Laura Newman to the conversation. Laura, tell us about the opening of Widener Field. I mean, this is going to make a major impact, right?
Yes, indeed, Shannon. Thank you. And thanks for noticing the sculpture and the artwork and everything that's going on along Cimarron and Sawatch there. The opening is scheduled with our first friendly game occurring on April 24th, and it will be Switchbacks FC against Orange County. And so we do want to encourage those who are interested to see a friendly, which is like an exhibition game. It doesn't necessarily count professionally, but tickets are available at switchbacksfc.com. And then our grand opening day with our first home game is on May 21st. And like Doug said, Shannon, it's clear that this has the vast potential to make a major impact on our city, just like our sister City for Champions projects have. Because not only will Widener Field attract more sports and entertainment-related events to the region, it will also bring more awareness of Olympic City USA as a key destination for sports and performance.
Right. And to think that, definitely national class sports is being played at that stadium. I mean, I've been around, Coors Field when they've had a game playing. It really energizes the entire surrounding area. You hear those cheers coming from the stadium. Do you envision something of the same will happen with Widener Field here for downtown Colorado Springs?
Absolutely. Because our parking is dispersed We have about 5,000 parking spaces within a 6-block radius. We see people walking the streets and visiting local businesses and getting their game on, right? And raising the energy level as they're traveling across the city to attend whatever event's going to be occurring in Widener Field.
All right. When I announced that this show was going to be on today, we did have a caller into KRDO News Radio who was wondering about that, wondering about parking. Is there dedicated parking areas or are we relying on some of the city lots? How's that work?
It was always the intention when the stadium was planned in the downtown southwestern area of Colorado Springs to utilize the existing parking of both city and county garages as well as lots. And like I mentioned, there's over 5,000 parking spaces within a 6-block radius. And in addition to that, of course, we have the newly opened lot next to the Olympic and Paralympic Museum and Hall of Fame, as well as we will have additional parking right next to the stadium that will be unveiled near opening day.
Okay, so there you have it, caller. Thank you for that question asked and answered. Well, we have much more of the Extra continuing. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be hearing more from Laura Newman about Widener Field and not just athletic events. There will be other things that will be taking place there. We'll hear about that coming up. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra. We are talking about the exciting stadium that is now going to be soon taking its place right there in downtown Colorado Springs as a destination for sports lovers. Of course, we're talking about professional soccer, but that will be the main game that's played there, but it's not the only game that will be played there. And we're bringing in Laura Newman with Widener Field. And Laura, I have to admit that I followed the advice of some of our local business advocates. I did all my Christmas shopping downtown, and one of the spots that I hit up was the Switchbacks store, where they offered all of their gear for sale. And so pretty much every Christmas gift recipient, I gave something that has a Switchbacks logo. So I'm all geared up, ready to cheer on the team, ready to go there and enjoy this. But it's not just those kind of games that we'll be seeing there. Tell us about how Widener Field's very, I guess, multifunctional.
Well, thanks for shopping local, Shannon. Thanks for buying all those Christmas.
It was my Christmas resolution. That's what it was. Yeah.
Terrific. And like you said, we're going to be very unique in that we'll have several indoor as well as outdoor event spaces for special events that can range anywhere from small intimate groups of 20 upwards of 12,000 attendees, whether those 12,000 would be concert goers or festivals that occur right on the field. And what's so unique is this event space has incredible views of Pikes Peak in the Front Range as well as downtown Colorado Springs. And I wanted to make mention of just very quickly, we have four unique event spaces. One is the Field Club, which is located at ground level, which does have VIP entry with direct access to the field. The others would be the Founders Club, which also has access to a Northwest amenity deck. So you can be both indoors and outdoors for your event. And then perhaps our crowning glory of event space would be the Sky Club, which is on the top level. And this has floor-to-ceiling windows that roll up and let the outdoors in. So this also has the incredible view of the downtown skyline as well as mountain views on the west side. And like I mentioned, festivals on the field, graduations. And by the way, it's very popular to get married, by the way, on turf and then move indoors for your special celebration. So we can be hosting any number of events that you might consider in the coming months ahead.
Okay, that sounds like a very unique way to have a wedding. I mean, can you imagine that being on the invitations? You know, Widener Field is going to be the location. I mean, that would be pretty fun. You wouldn't have to be, you know, a sports fan. It could be anyone, right, having these great events there. And perhaps even conventions and gatherings like that, like the Space Symposium, might hold dinners there, yeah?
Absolutely. And we do have a wonderful partnership with Levy Hospitality, and we're calling Levy within Widener Field 6035 because that's our elevation, which, by the way, is the highest altitude professional stadium in the U.S.
Uh-oh.
And so 6035 is known not only for very high-end concession-type food, but also luxury hospitality. So our banquet and catering offers will rival some of the best in Colorado Springs.
Well, you have, because at the Colorado Rockies, you know, they at Coors Field, they have that purple stripe of seats that's supposed to be at exactly 5280 elevation. Is that what you're going to do?
We're not going to necessarily advertise that, but when you do talk about purple stripes, we will have a very prominent blue COS on the seats. And so when people are viewing this on ESPN around the world, our games, there will be a prominent location of Colorado Springs. So that will be on the seats themselves.
But, fantastic. Yeah. That's quite a draw. Doug Price, CEO and Executive Director of Visit Colorado Springs. As Ms. Newman was talking about, you know, this can bring some national attention to our region. And not that our region was any harder hit than any other region around the U.S. or even the world. But this has been something, recovering from the pandemic, that has been kind of a consistent theme we've been talking about on our monthly visits. Wouldn't you guess?
Well, you know, Shannon, the meetings and events industry globally really took a hit from the pandemic and are still reeling from that. Capacities for indoor and outdoor venues still are in a state of flux. But we are beginning to rebook some events for the second half of 2021. As you mentioned, Space Symposium will be here the end of August. And groups that are, you know, now starting to look into the even 2022, 2023 and beyond. This venue, along as you and I've talked in the past, Shannon, about Southwest Airlines, is now making it easier for people to get to Colorado Springs. But we've been long overdue for a downtown stadium. You know, you talked about Coors Field, and everybody in Colorado knows what has really happened around that stadium and making that such a special place for all of us to enjoy. And I just think that this new sports venue is going to be hosting events that are going to bring even more events to our region that we really haven't been able to do before, which is going to help us recover from the pandemic. So, yeah, it's going to be not only great for downtown businesses, but our hotels that have been really impacted, and our lodging partners and our restaurants. This will bring more events to our city and to our downtown, which we're overdue for.
Well, right. And one thing that we're also kind of overdue for, you know, as someone who I love listening to music live. And we really haven't had that outdoor or large space where something like that could take place. And Laura, I understand there are going to be some concerts coming to Widener Field.
Yes, there are, Shannon, and thanks for the opportunity to mention that. We will have a country concert series that will kick off in May, as well as a Latin concert series later this summer. And that's just the start of the potential of what can occur there. And those who are listening who have an interest, please visit switchbacksfc.com to find out more about what's on the schedule for the months ahead.
Okay, so if you want to hear maybe your favorite artist, give that website a look-see, because you never know, they may be on the slate. And frankly, I have discovered so many great artist just by happening to be in the right place at the right time and saying, that looks like a good band or a good concert or a good performing artist. So I think I'm going to give them a try. And then I end up getting hooked. So maybe you'll find some new discovery that'll definitely tickle your musical taste buds. We have much more of the Extra coming ahead. We're going to be talking about the artwork that has been unveiled, the Leroy Neiman artwork that Leroy Neiman, of course, is immortal for how he has immortalized, I should say, the Olympics. And I have been a big fan of Leroy Neiman ever since I got to work in a space that he immortalized in artwork. So that was one of my exciting ties to that artist. But we're going to talk about how Widener Field is really showcasing this artist. And that's not all. So keep it right here on KRDO News Radio. More of The Extra straight ahead. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, we've been talking about Widener Field, and Laura Newman with Widener Field is joining us right now, and as well, Doug Price with Visit Colorado Springs. Laura, I have to tell you, when the news broke a couple of weeks ago that the Leroy Neiman artworks were going to be unveiled, it prompted quite a bit of discussion here at KRDO News Radio. For instance, our traffic reporter, Joel Navarro, grew up with his parents having a Leroy Neiman painting in their house. I'm not sure if it was an original or print, but I mean, he grew up with that. You know, it was one of his Olympic artworks that was in the house. So that's something that he grew up with. And I, when I was growing up, got to work. One of my first jobs was at a restaurant in the Seattle area where the owner of the restaurant had commissioned an artwork by Leroy Neiman. It's a huge artwork, but it's called FX McCrory's, I think is the name of it, or the bar at FX McCrory's. But one of the interesting things about that story is that Leroy Neiman took his time getting the artwork done, and how the owner of that restaurant bar convinced him. It was an Irish bar. It was really fun. He convinced him by flying gold bars into New York City that were the down payment on the artwork. He presented a suitcase full of gold bars, and he said, okay, here's your money. Now paint. And so that's kind of the story, kind of a fun story about how, and Leroy Neiman did. He painted an amazing artwork. And if he had held on to the gold, it'd probably be worth a lot more because I think it went up in price quite a bit since then. But Leroy Neiman has always associated his art with the Olympics. And certainly since we are the city of champions, it's appropriate that he has some artwork on Widener Field. So why don't you tell us a little bit how that came to be and where people can see it.
Thanks, Shannon. Well, on Friday, April 2nd, we did unveil 10 unique, iconic works by Leroy Neiman, and they're oversized, by the way, 9 foot by 12 foot each. And those are displayed on the exterior wall along Sawatch. So between Cimarron and Moreno, right along Sawatch. And it was presented as part of the Downtown Partnership's first Friday downtown monthly walkthrough. And it really speaks to the development in this area of downtown and the historic Mill Street community. Because as many know, this location used to be a vacant lot, a blighted vacant lot. And now it features 12,000 square foot of Neiman's legendary pieces. And I want to tell you just a little bit about how such things happen. Just truly serendipity at work. But we had a wonderful introduction to the Leroy Neiman Foundation by our friends at the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum and Hall of Fame. As those of you who visited the museum know, Neiman has a studio there. In fact, they also have a really cool thing called the Neimanizer, where you can stand in front of it and have a piece of artwork done of yourself. By the way, so I encourage people to do that. But when they made the introduction to the Neiman Foundation in New York City to us, what particularly was of interest to them is the artwork was going to be outside and thus available 24/7, 365 days a year in what is formerly a blighted area. And the reason they were so interested in that is We try to capture that, by the way, in the biography that we have displayed on the wall, which is not a typical biography of Leroy Neiman. It talks a little bit more about his very colorful life, particularly that he wanted art available to all, particularly young people who are disenfranchised, as he once was, because he thinks art is inspiration. And so when they heard that we would display his artwork, were anyone of any means and any time of day who may never step foot in the stadium or step foot in the museum, but they could walk along Sawatch and be inspired, they said yes and signed on. And so we're very grateful for the introduction by our friends at the museum and also for the support from the Downtown Development Authority.
Right. And the foundation, I'm assuming, didn't even need a suitcase full of gold bars for this to happen.
No. And it's so amazing. Of course, there's some costs involved. And we have to, you know, digitally reproduce it and frame it and do all these things, right?
Because it has to be protected from the elements, right? Snow and ice and rain.
It was more about that this is what he envisioned before he died, is making artwork available to all. And so that was what drew them in.
Well, and you can see, you know, eventually when we get back to school field trips, kids taking a pilgrimage down there to soak in that artwork because, you know, having public art and him lending his gift is really kind of special. Doug Price, bringing you into the conversation again. It seems like as she was describing this process, how it came about, it seems like all of these pieces are kind of connecting together like a jigsaw puzzle where, you know, you've started to really see the connections and where every bit goes.
Well, you know, Shannon, it didn't happen by chance. And I can't help but think back 9 years ago when we were holding public meetings about these projects and how they could evolve. One night at Studio B, the arts community held a meeting, and there were hundreds of us in this room talking about the importance of these museums, the museum, the stadium. At the time, there was only going to be one stadium, but these projects needed to be connected via the arts. And so it is. It really is not by chance that this has happened, and we really owe a tip of the hat to everybody who's had a part in this and making sure that not only were these projects transformational, but we do get a chance to display art, at to your point, for youths and for, you know, visitors as well as our residents.
Right. And it's drawing people down that street along Sawatch that maybe they wouldn't normally drive along that street. I mean, it's, you know, not the major east-west thoroughfare. It's a north-south thoroughfare. So maybe, you know, it gets even more people that are exploring new parts of the city.
Well, your listeners cannot drive down that street just quite yet. In the next segment, Laura will tell you why and when they do that. But you can kind of walk down there a little bit, but we need a couple more weeks before people can fully enjoy and embrace it.
Yeah. Don't go back past the construction barriers, listeners. That would be a bad thing. All right, Laura.
Well, Shannon said I could do it.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to KRDO News Radio. They know everything. Laura, let's talk about... in addition to the Neiman exhibit, there's also other parts of this project that are going hand in hand with it. Tell us about that.
I think you might be referring to the Moreno Public Plaza, which is under development currently. And that is a plaza that will stretch the entire block from Sawatch to Sierra Madre, and be connected to both the stadium experience at Widener Field as well as the residential living experience that will be there. And included in that plaza will be art and landscaping, a park-like setting. There will also be retail. And I anticipate that will be opening summer, at the latest, summer of 2023.
And so that would be on the south side of the stadium. Is that how I understand it?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so on that side, I actually don't think I have ever ventured on that side, despite, you know, 12, 15 years of living here. So very interesting to see how that area will be transformed. Okay, it is all about tapping the maybe unrealized potential so far of an area of Colorado Springs that maybe hadn't been getting the attention that other areas had. So when we come back, some important dates so that the public can see what's been going on beyond just driving by and getting a quick glance in. We're going to be continuing with the extra after this. When we come back, get your calendars out. You want to mark down these dates. Well, it's been fun if you've been driving through downtown Colorado Springs to see what's been happening at the site of Widener Field. Joining us right now, Laura Newman. Laura, what's set to happen in the next days and months?
Oh, so much. and I guess what you're referring to specifically is the unveiling of the sculpture that many have probably driven by and have seen those tremendous 70-foot span rings that are balanced upon something that looks like a plastic bag. but we're going to be unveiling that on April 23rd. And we think it's just going to add to the gateway to our downtown off of Cimarron, which has already been established by our esteemed neighbor at the museum. And so right off of Cimarron, we think the sculpture, as well as those rings and the very unique lighting, which will be unveiled on the 23rd, although a few have gotten a sneak preview when we've been testing out those lights in the evening time. But that is going to be something to behold. And then shortly thereafter, as I mentioned earlier, we'll have our first friendly game the next day. We will have our grand opening on May 21st. And then, of course, if time allows, I'd love to tell you a little bit about the residential community that'll be built on the other side.
Okay. Well, we have time. Go for it.
Well, I want to mention before I move there is, for those who have ever visited Chicago and have seen the Bean or have taken your photo in front of the Bean, we anticipate that once unveiled on the 23rd, that our sculpture, which will have a name, by the way, will become one of the most coveted selfie opportunities in the city, beyond, of course, our natural, incredible landscape and all the beautiful things we have. There's even a collection of concrete blocks at various heights in two different locations that will encourage people to take that photo, because it is a work of art and engineering and just architectural wonder. And it is intended to be an artful representation of all things possible in Colorado Springs, because Widener founder and Colorado Springs native Dean Widener, he commissioned the sculpture to reflect the optimism of Colorado Springs of tomorrow. And I do need to give a shout out, if I could, to the architectural firm of Perkins & Will, Martin & Martin Consulting Engineers, but in particular, our locally owned Springs Fabrication LLC, which has been in business in Colorado Springs for more than 34 years, that put this sculpture together. And I'm not going to share much more about the detail, because we're looking forward to a big moment coming up on the 23rd where we'll tell the story of what it took. And there's some engineering facts that will be pretty amazing to folks to make that sculpture come to be.
But like you said, it will get a lot of exposure if people follow their inclinations and pose with that sculpture behind them. I mean, people will be seeing that, you know, on Instagram stories and on TikTok feeds. Goodness knows what they'll figure out to do with it. And that's as much as you can tell us. Any more hints as to what's going to be part of it?
I guess just to pay attention to what the lighting capabilities are within those rings. And then also, when you look at it, when it is unveiled, what it may mean from a heritage standpoint of Colorado Springs and what the site's history was, but also a nod to the future. There might be a space consideration some people may think of, a nod to our Olympic City USA. There's just so much to come and so much that it represents to us that we hope our fellow citizens feel the same way.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we have about 2 or 3 minutes. So I know you wanted to talk about the pedestrian plaza as well as City Gate. So why, in those minutes, why don't you take your pick as to how much you can share?
Okay, wonderful. I guess what I will share is that for now, the placeholder for the name of the residential community that will surround the stadium, I'm going to call it City Gate because that's its history. And there will be approximately 1,200 residential units when we're complete. Phase one, which is of the greatest interest because it's the first, right? We will commence fairly immediately and open in summer of 2024. We'll have a 7-story building with about 400 units. We will have a 4-level parking garage with about 700 parking spaces. And the reason I say that about parking is you'll note that we are over parking that residential unit so that we can allow for additional parking downtown and for people to enjoy the retail that already exists downtown as well as additional that's coming. And as many as 50 of the first phase residences will have direct views of the stadium and also have the ability to have catering from 6035 Hospitality
nice.
That I mentioned previously. So I'll stop there and perhaps let Doug wrap it up.
Okay. Well, Doug, everything that Linda is sharing, I mean, if you're a fan of Colorado Springs, as you know, all of us longtime residents are, and even newcomers, of course, they become fans real fast. This just sounds so energizing, so exciting. Why don't you, you know, tell us in the final minute here or so what you think this is going to add to our city?
Well, I think that millennials have been talking for a long time about, hey, are there some places to live? What is there to do in downtown Colorado Springs? And I think it's the entire experience is going to be changing. And I can sense it already and just walking around, and the stadium's not even built yet open yet. But I just think, I'm just hoping that our visitors and residents can start looking out for details. As Laura mentioned, the preseason games at Widener and the home opener in late May and the country western series and the Latin music series. It's just changing our front door, as Laura said, it's going to give us a new look and feel to welcoming people home as well as welcoming visitors to our city. So we're excited. And Laura, thanks for your time this morning and being able to join us. And I hope everybody checks out the Leroy Neiman exhibit outside the stadium just as soon as they can. Give us about, what, maybe another week and a half.
Right. And as you said, it's going to bring another showcasing of Colorado Springs to national audiences, not just to audiences locally. I mean, for instance, the Switchbacks are going to feature in 3 nationally televised games this year, which hopefully will be just timed right to showcase that beautiful stadium. I'd like to thank our guests today, Laura Neiman with Widener Field and Doug Price, Visit Colorado Springs CEO and Executive Director of that organization, for sharing with us all the news and developments that are going on with this new landmark that is being added to our city landscape. And thank you to our listeners for going along on this journey as we learn more. You've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.